Children today face different challenges than their parents did. Keeping them safe is nothing new, of course, but some of the dangers certainly are. Parents and caretakers want to keep their children safe from crime, from drugs, and from gangs. But how do you do that without overprotecting them? And what role do teachers and educators play in their safety? School can be as dangerous a place as the streets. So for one view on that issue, I am joined now by Marisol Sierra, a teacher at McKinley Park Elementary School in Chicago. Marisol, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us about the circumstances where you teach, the environment, the kids. What's it like there?
Well, we are in the Brenton Park area, and the community, there are some gangs in the community, but there is a strong force of parent involvement in the school where they want their children to come to school to be safe, to learn, and that's what we try to do here at Brenton Park. Our principal, Francis Garcia, tries to let the parents know that their children are safe here at the school. They're coming to be educated and just to learn. But my students, even though the school, we try to provide a safe zone, they come in, they're talking about, teacher, I saw gangbangers, teacher, I saw the gangs in the corner by my house, teacher, I saw in the news, teacher, another kid got hurt, teacher, another child got hurt, somebody died, teacher, a gangbanger did it. And these are 4.5, 5-year-olds, and one of the things before we do our attendance, our nursery rhymes, they always come in and they want to talk about what they heard on the news, what they saw from their neighborhood. And I got to the point where, okay, we can't ignore this. Let's acknowledge it. Let's deal with the issue. And they're talking about, oh, there's gangs at night, teacher, you know, when the lights go out. You can hear gunshots.
Well, you said something I want to ask you to elaborate on a little bit. You said when they start talking about it, you realize you have to acknowledge it and you have to deal with it.
Yes.
So how do you deal with
it? Well, basically with my little ones, at first, as we sit on the rug, we talk about, I first started telling them, well, I understand that there are gangs. These are big boys that like to hold guns, and sometimes they like to stand in corners, and they do things that are not right, like stealing, shooting, because they're like, yeah, they shoot, teacher. They shoot at night, or they write on walls. And one child in my classroom used the word tagging, and I was, like, amazed that he's 4.5. He used the word tagging. I didn't know he knew what that word meant. And the same thing with the word gunshot. He said gunshot, and I'm thinking this is a 4.5, going to be 5 years old. That's vocabulary that I would not expect from a young child.
Yeah.
And then it takes off from one child, and that child elaborates. So then I said, okay, well, let's see. What can we do as a class that we can be safe when we come to school, when we're at home? What can we do? So we all started brainstorming. Teacher, we promise we won't touch guns. We won't talk to gangbangers. And I said, okay, wait a minute. Let me get my paper.
So you can write it down.
All right. So let's write it down. We wrote on a paper, we promise not to touch real guns or talk to gangs, because some of these guns look like toys. And our principal, Ms. Frances Garcia, gave us some flyers that show pictures of real guns, but they're colorful. They're pink, and there's a Hello Kitty on one of the guns. They're like pink and yellow, green and yellow, and so, they look like toy guns.
So let me interrupt you to say it presents some challenges for you, it sounds like. And I want to bring into the conversation two students who are here in studio with me from the Los Angeles area to talk about how they deal with it, so the three of us can talk together. Yes. Let me introduce them. Angela Bell is a 10th grader at City Honors Charter School in Inglewood, California, and Anna Exiga is an 11th grader at Jordan High School in Watts. Welcome, both of you young ladies.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, how do you deal? You've heard Marisol talk about what she has to deal with her really young kids. You guys are high school, where the violence sometimes is much more severe. Let me begin with you, Angela. How do you navigate through getting from home to school and through school and school to home without having to encounter violence or other kinds of criminal behavior?
Well, I live in South Central, but my dad makes me go to school in Inglewood. So I go to this school called City Honors. It's a charter school. And I have to take the bus every morning to go to school and most of the days after school. And every day, like, when I get on the bus, I just stick by myself so I don't talk to anybody unless it's somebody that goes to my school. I don't talk to anybody, and I just act like I'm not paying attention, so they don't talk to me. So I just isolate myself from everybody else. At least I try. And
do you have to dress a certain way?
I just try not to wear, like, bold, like, blue, like, a plain blue shirt or red or anything like that. Or, because, like, they don't care if I'm a girl or not. They just know, like, oh, I could be a Crip or I could be a Blood. So I just don't wear those colors at all. Or I don't wear much brown either because, like, I have to travel through a whole bunch of different kinds of gangs to get to school because it's all the way in Inglewood. And in Inglewood, around my school is mainly Bloods, but I live in, around a Crip neighborhood, so I can't really do anything. I just dress plain.
Anna, what's your experience?
I wish it was that easy just to sign a little peace treaty that said we won't, you know, commit to doing crimes and violence and all that stuff at Jordan, but you know, in general, like in all South Central schools that we face, safety is a really big issue. There's always administrators or security guards, like, patrolling the area like some sort of prison. And you could, like, the whole school environment, it feels like a prison. Wow. There's bars around and cameras everywhere, so you feel like you're constantly being watched.
Metal detectors.
Let me ask the both of you before I go back to Marisol. Do you think that you should have or would you like to have been taught at an early age how to deal with this through your teachers and at school, or were you taught how to do that when you were fourth, fifth graders?
I wish somebody would have taught me how to deal with these kind of issues. Like, I didn't even know about anything until I was, like, in the seventh grade, where that's when I first got introduced to all the violence and the gangs.
What happened? Tell us about the first time. Do you remember the first thing?
Yeah, I moved. I used to live in Torrance, and then I moved to South L.A., and, like, after a couple months of living there, like, somebody got shot in front of my house, and they died. So that was, like, really hard for me because I didn't think people actually, like, I watched the news, but I didn't think it would happen, like, that close to me. So it was, like hard for me to, like, handle it. And nobody ever told me, like, oh, people will get shot when you move out here. Oh, you're going to have to worry about gangs, and you can't dress the way you used to dress and stuff like that. So I never knew.
Anna?
Back then, I would have wanted someone to tell me, but I wouldn't want them to sugarcoat it for me.
Yeah.
I would want them to, like, tell me, like, the reality, you know, of this society, with violence and everything.
Marisol, is this helpful to you?
Yes, it is, because what she said, not to sugarcoat it, exactly. I try to let the give the children an awareness. I try to build their awareness for down the road as they go to the higher grades, kindergarten, first grade, third grade, because some of these children might have brothers and sisters or cousins that are in gangs, and they might think they're cool by standing in the corner, because one of my little boys, some of those boys are cool, and I said, no, they're not cool, because they hurt people and they make people sad, and mommies and daddies become very sad if they shoot someone with a gun, or they use it, like one of my little boys, he can use knives too, teacher. And I said, that's right. And I think it's just being able to talk to them at their level of understanding that guns and the gangbangers fighting and gangs bring sadness to families, because if you get involved in a gang, someone can get hurt because there's gang violence or guns. If a relative has a gun in the home or for safety reasons, like one of my little boys said, his uncle has a gun for safety reasons. But what about them going and touching it by accident because they don't know that it's, they know that it's real, but sometimes they, you know, video games and everything, they're, oh, I can touch it, you know, I can shoot it and then I won't die.
But let me bring the girls back in.
Yes.
Do either of you have younger brothers or sisters?
Yeah.
What do you tell them? Are they old enough, first of all, for you to talk to them about what it will be like for them when they get to going to school, or are they already in school?
I have two sisters and a brother, and one of them doesn't even live in California. And then the other two, they're in kindergarten and pre-K. So I try to tell them, like, don't mess with anything like that, but it's kind of hard because, like, there's a lot of gangbangers that live around where they live. So it's kind of hard for them to avoid that. So they, like, know gang signs and all of that already. And my little brother's only 5, 6, and he already knows how to throw up, like, some, like, 2 different gang signs. And I don't know who taught it to him. And I tried to tell him not to do it, but he thinks it's a good thing. So it's hard for them to, like, really understand, like, why they shouldn't do it. They know what it is, but they don't know why.
Anna, is are gangs the number one problem in terms of your safety? Do you feel getting to and from school and being at school?
That's one of the main things. And just another thing, it's the community, because a lot of people that go to the South Central schools, they often had to walk their way to school. And a lot of times they see, of course, gangs and drug dealers and all that stuff. So it's really unsafe for them to go to school and then walk back home or take the bus.
Tell me once again, you may have mentioned it earlier, we're going to bring our conversation to a close, and I really do appreciate both of you coming in and sharing your stories. But really briefly, Anna, how do you keep yourself protected? What do you do? What do you try to do all the time?
Well, I take the bus to go home, but I just, like, you know, say to myself, I just, you know, stay quiet, you know, try to avoid everything that's going on. But at the same time, I'm conscious. I'm like, okay, I can't just detach myself from that. I can't just ignore it, because mm-hmm. in doing so, it's like being in denial that all this is actually happening.
Same for you?
Yeah. Like how I said earlier about having to ride the bus, like, I, like, act like I'm not really paying attention, but I listen to them, and I'm always looking around to make sure, like, nobody's trying to take my phone or anything like that, so I just...
You try to be careful.
Yeah.
And try to pay attention.
Yeah.
And look out, and you're aware of your surroundings at all times.
Of course.
That's a tough way to live. How old are you?
16.
And how old are you?
16.
That's a tough way to have to live at 16. Thank you so much for coming on. Marisol, Anna, Angela. Marisol Sierra teaches at McKinley Park Elementary School in Chicago. Angela Bell is a 10th grader at City Honors Charter School in Inglewood, California. And Anna Exiga is an 11th grader at Jordan High School in Watts.